550 KTRS, the Friday edition of the Large Morning Show in the afternoon. I'm Paul Harris. Ian and Dan are here with me. A couple of days ago, I emailed my friend Phil Plate, who writes the Bad Astronomy column for Slate, and said, you know, this asteroid that's coming close to Earth on Friday, will you come on Friday's show and talk about it? And he said, yeah, sure, I'd be happy to. And then last night, I'm up late, and I look on Twitter, and all of a sudden, Phil is tweeting about something going on in Russia. There are smoky trails in the air, and big booms going on, and glass is flying everywhere, and turns out that there was this meteor that hit in this Russian city, had a population of about 1 million people there, and I'm guessing 999,999 of them were freaked out. First thing in the morning when this meteor came to Earth. It's not the meteor that was supposed to come by us this afternoon. But after seeing it on Twitter last night, I said, well, now we really have something to talk to Phil about. And so here he is, the Bad Astronomer. Hi, Phil. How are you?
Hey, Paul. Good to talk to you again.
Likewise. How often does what happened last night happen? A big meteorite like that comes crashing to Earth as a fireball that streaks across the sky.
Well, that's a good question, and it depends on how big the object is. The smaller they are, the more common they are. You go out on any random night, you're going to see a few shooting stars in an hour, and those are grains of sand. They're tiny. But the bigger they are, the more rare they are. And to get something big enough to do damage like this one does or did doesn't usually happen except every few years, maybe, although it just depends. I mean, something like this came in over Russia in 1947 and exploded, and the earlier one, which was much larger, and most people have heard of this, is the Tunguska blast in 1908, and that was something that was probably 30 to 50 meters across, much larger than the 15 meters, you know, the 50-foot size of this rock that came in yesterday.
How much did that thing weigh that came in last night?
I'm seeing all kinds of different numbers for it. I'm not really sure, but it's in the many, many, many tons range. You know, it's a rock that is 20 feet across, 30, 40 feet across. I'm seeing a lot of different estimates for the size. So it was thousands of tons.
All right. Now, when you say it exploded, there's nothing explosive in this thing, right?
No, it's just a chunk of rock, but what happens is it's orbiting the sun at some speed, which is pretty fast, faster than a rifle bullet, and it meets up with the Earth, which is moving in some other direction also very rapidly, and it gets stopped suddenly, and when you do that, you're converting all of that energy of motion into heat, and that is essentially an explosion because it happens very rapidly. And when you look at the video, and there's lots of video of this all over the web, you can see this thing streaking across the sky, and there are numerous flashes of light, which is where this rock is falling apart and dumping its energy into the atmosphere very suddenly. An explosion.
Now, the big boom that you can hear on some of these videos, was that the meteorite hitting the Earth?
No, and that's a very common thought, and it makes sense, but that's not what we're hearing. There are two things going on, and I'm still trying to disentangle them, but as it's moving through the atmosphere, there is going to be a sonic boom, a shock wave. It's moving faster than the speed of sound, and that's going to travel through the air and create a loud bang, which is what you hear, for example, when a supersonic jet goes by. Also, though, if you watch the video, there are numerous flashes of light, like I said. I think this is the rock falling apart, and it is an explosion. You're just dumping huge amounts of energy into the atmosphere, and those are going to make large bangs. It's an explosion. I'm not sure which is which, although I'm starting to lean more towards the idea that it was actually the explosions of these rocks, these sudden disintegrations of them, that were creating these booms, because in some of the videos, you hear them over and over again. A very loud one, a very large one that shattered windows, and then several that came after. And I think that may have been from smaller pieces disintegrating as well as they burned up in the Earth's atmosphere.
And was it the boom, the sonic boom, if you want to call it that, that caused most of the damage?
Well, whether it was the noise from an explosion or the sonic boom, yeah, that's what did it. This pressure wave, the sound wave, comes streaming down, slams into buildings and whatever, and it creates a It's a wind, essentially. You can think of it that way. And it shattered windows and did all kinds of damage. The reports are a little weird. There was a building where a wall collapsed, and I'm not sure if it got hit by something or if it was just the shaking from the boom that did it. But then eventually a big piece of this thing fell into a lake a few miles west of the main town, and hopefully people are going to try to dig this thing up, because it's a big chunk of, whether it's rock or metal, I don't know, but it's worth getting up there and studying.
Yeah, and we should point out it's a frozen lake, so that impact probably created some noise as well.
Yeah, I haven't heard any reports of anybody being near there, but they seem to have found it pretty quickly, and there's a hole in the ice in this lake that's about 30 feet across. And people have been asking me how big the chunk was that made this hole, and I don't know. It might have been, it was no bigger than 30 feet, but was it 25 feet and just kind of punched a hole in the ice, or was it smaller and created a plume of water that broke the ice more? I don't know. We'll find out, hopefully, when they haul this thing up. I don't know how they're going to do it. That water's flipping cold. It's Russia in the winter. And it's a big chunk of rock. It weighs a lot. We'll have to see what they do.
Phil, before we came on the air with you, Dan and I were joking about how, if this were an alien craft and they were intelligent enough to come across, light years to get here and hit Earth, that they thought to themselves, okay, don't hit the big oceans. We don't want to land in the ocean. Aim for land. And then they aim for land and boom, they go to the lake.
It looks like land. Oh, no, it's frozen.
Right, you can tell, right? And it's funny, Russia seems to get a lot of this, and it's just coincidence. It's got a big chunk of land out there, but yeah. Tunguska in 1908, Sakhodyalin was another one, a famous one that fell in 1947. There was another one a few years ago that didn't get a lot of reporting because it fell over a very remote area. I suspect it's because it's got a lot of east-west length to it. And these things usually are coming in the same direction that the Earth's going around the sun. So the longer you are in the east-west direction, the more likely it is you're going to have something happen there. Well, either that or, somebody's got it out for the Russians, those poor guys, and they're dropping rocks on them.
Now, I have to ask you about a report that I read today that says, quote, Russia's military may have known of the impending meteor strike several days in advance, but did not issue any special public warnings. This according to the independent Rosbalt News Agency, which is an agency in Russia. I know nothing about them or how verifiable that is. But did we know that this thing was coming towards Earth?
No. I see a lot of reports and a lot of stuff goes around, a lot of rumors. In this case, I'm really, really, really skeptical of that. This thing was very small. It's so small that even a couple of days ago, it would have been completely invisible to telescopes unless they happened to already know it was coming in. And this was a completely unknown rock. DA-14, this big rock that passed us today, was 50 meters across, and it was only discovered last year. And it was only in range of telescopes for a few days. It moves in and out so quickly. It's just really, really dim when it's far away. And even from 17,000 miles above the surface of the Earth, DA-14 was too dim to see with the naked eye. So something a third that size is going to be even fainter. It was coming in from the direction of the sun, which means it's probably been on the day side of Earth for quite some time. And also, it was moving fast. It's not like this thing is just walking along. It's moving faster than a rifle bullet. So I'm having a really hard time believing that anybody, A, knew about it, and B, shot it down.
Yeah, I heard 33,000 miles an hour was the speed, something like that.
Something like that. There's sort of a minimum speed of 18 to 20,000 miles an hour these things have to have because of the way the physics works. And if they're coming in a certain direction, they can be moving a lot faster. We've got pretty good ideas. I mean, all the video shows that this thing was coming in from the east and moving west. There was a weather satellite that caught the plume and shows the direction it was moving. This is probably the best documented meteor impact that's ever happened on Earth.
Yeah, because everybody has a camera in their pocket, and in Russia, half the people have a dash cam on their cars, so we've got tons of footage of it, which is very cool. Now, about this DA-14, which was supposed to be the big headline today in astronomy, because it was going to miss us by only 17,000 miles, which means it's actually between us and some satellites in orbit around the Earth. What if that had hit us?
It would have been a lot worse. at that size, you're talking about something that's the equivalent of about a 10 to 20 megaton bomb going off.
Wow.
Which is, you know, fairly roughly the largest nuclear weapons that have ever been tested. So if you ever go and watch those, you know, that old archival footage from the 1950s of the big nuclear tests, it would have been like that. And that's simply because these objects are moving so fast. The bigger they are, the faster they move, the more energy they have. And when you stop them, that energy has to go somewhere, and it goes into heat, which causes an explosion. So DA-14 sliding past us at 17,000 miles is fine by me. You don't want these things hitting us. So really, honestly, if you've got two rocks and one of them's going to hit, we chose wisely. But, you know, up until yesterday, I was like, geez, 17,000 miles is a really close miss.
Yeah.
But, you know, this one missed us by only, you know, 20 miles.
Why didn't
it was deep enough in our atmosphere to still blow up.
Why didn't that DA-14 hit satellites? Was that possible for it to hit satellites up there?
It could, but essentially the odds of that are zero, and that's simply because space is really big, which is, you know, why we call it space.
Don't get so technical, Phil.
Wow.
But I love that joke. But it's hard to understand just how big space is. If you have a volume of space that's 1,000 by 1,000 by 1,000 miles, that's a billion cubic miles, right? And so it's a huge amount of space, and satellites are very small. And they don't occupy much of that space. And a rock that's, you know, 50 meters across doesn't occupy much either. So really, you could toss a million rocks that size through near-Earth space, and chances are you'll never hit a satellite.
Well, wow. You know, when one comes through, I hope it hits the one that's broadcasting The Apprentice. That's just me. But
I won't shed a tear. Sorry about that.
Now, I know that DA-14 is still in its orbit, and we, of course, are in our orbit, and it leads to the inevitable question, is it coming back to hit us in the future?
Well, I need to find an orbital update. I haven't seen one yet. Where basically, because it passed so close to the Earth, the Earth's gravity has changed the orbit of this rock. It used to be on an orbit that was very similar to the Earth's around the Sun, but tilted a little bit by a few degrees. And now that it's come so close to the Earth, it's actually changed its period by 50 days. It used to orbit the Sun around 367 days. That's dropped to about 317.
Wow.
Whether it can come back or not, I know that in 2046, it's supposed to swing by us, but miss us by a few million miles. Over the long run, I don't know if this thing is still considered a potentially hazardous object. We should know in a couple of days. The last I heard is, yes, it still gets near the Earth, but no, it's not going to be a hazard for a long, long time.
You know, normally when you want to get asteroids to change their period, you have to have them room together or live together in a house for several months.
Yes.
And then their periods are all the same for some reason.
Yeah, but I don't want to be around for a 50-day period.
No.
I'll decline commenting on that, I think.
Last thing, Phil, is that you wrote a book a couple of years ago called Death from the Skies, and you and I have talked about it on the air a couple of times. One of the things that you write about in there is how asteroids may someday, in large size, come and actually hit us, and that won't be good. And you said we need to start building or developing some sort of plan for a project that will be an asteroid killer in the future, or at least an asteroid deflector. Here's my question, Phil. How's that plan going?
Yeah, I hate to say I told you so. But when you write a book about all the ways the universe can kill you, and chapter one is asteroid impact, you hope somebody would pay attention.
Yeah.
But people are paying attention. NASA's been looking into this, although I wish their effort were stronger. Their funding is limited, to be honest. There's the B612 Foundation, which is a group of astronauts, astronomers, and engineers, and they are investigating this very seriously. They're a private group looking for funding to build a mission to observe the sky and look for these small asteroids, which is step one, is to basically map them out and find out where they are. There's a NASA mission called NEOCAM, which is also designed to do this, and I'm hoping that people start taking this seriously. I just saw a press release by Lamar Smith from the U.S. House of Representatives Science Committee, who is saying he wants to hold a hearing about this. Now, given that here's a rock that is roughly the size of a house, there are billions of these things out there. We had zero warning that it was going to happen. And without even hitting the ground, it blew out windows, injured 1,000 people, and did what could have potentially been very serious damage. If this thing had gotten lower or had been over, you know, a city of a million is a lot, but if it had been over New York or Moscow or London, we could have been talking about a lot of people being killed, and this thing didn't even hit the ground to do any damage. I'm really glad that the U.S. Congress has taken this seriously.
Well, if you want to read more about this, this is something that nobody ever talks about except for Phil and the people that he's just mentioned now. Tonight, go on Amazon and get yourself a copy of Death from the Skies, and then go to Slate.com and read Phil's Bad Astronomy column. He's got videos and scientific analysis of exactly what we've been talking about here today, and I appreciate you sharing some of that with us this afternoon.
Oh, my pleasure, Paul. Thank you.
That's Phil Plait, the Bad Astronomer here on the Big 550 KTRS.